Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. We are doing what we do on most Fridays, which is talk about the humanities and continue with our Ideas Matter segment, checking in with the public humanities. It's our chance to see what's happening in the Humanity Councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. Today we will speak with the Massachusetts Humanities, Mass Humanities, about their Reading Frederick Douglass project. And we welcome Plune Baricius to with us. Plune, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I am fine. I'm glad to be here.
It is wonderful to have you here. You've been in our thoughts, and we are delighted that you are with us this morning. Plune is Director of Grants and Programs for Mass Humanities. David Harris joins us as well, Managing Director of the Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Equality at Harvard Law School. And David, it is a pleasure to have you with us this morning.
Glad to be with you.
Thank you very much. So tell us about, Plune, we'll begin with you, of how this whole Reading Frederick Douglass project came to be.
Well, Reading Frederick Douglass is a project we've been doing for, I think it is this year is the sixth year. We started it with the commemoration of the Civil War. It is a program through which we encourage people around the state and, in fact, around the nation to get together and read communally Frederick Douglass's 4th of July speech, his 1852 speech that was really a rallying cry for the abolition movement. And we've been encouraging that in various ways. One way is that it's a portable program, which is for which everything that one needs to do this is on our website. And the other is that we organize, sponsor, and encourage events around the state, of which there are usually five or six every year.
So what got you into doing this initially of why it is important to do? What did you notice that you wanted to correct in some way?
I'm going to leave that to David.
All right. David, it's all you.
Well, thank you, Flynn. Well, you know, it really began as a very small event in a small community-based organization where people got together and read the speech. And I participated once, and we discovered that, in fact, there's a great deal of strength that comes from reading it, and it remains incredibly relevant and germane. And we find that as people read it, they can take a great deal out of it in terms of understanding American society. And it's a great thing to do as we celebrate independence, to think about the complexity of our history and think about how far we have to go. We originally began, the first year was, it was called Reading Frederick Douglass in the Era of Obama. And the idea at that time was that the election of President Obama gave us an opportunity to talk about race rather than freedom from talking about race. And we find that it's a great vehicle for that, and it allows us to reflect on where we've come. The speech itself is an incredibly powerful indictment of American society, but it also contains a great deal of hope about understanding the principles and ideals that founded the nation and a call to action for us to live up to them. So people find it very inspiring, and we have found over the years that it really does help people put the 4th of July in context.
And the idea of doing it communally, of why do you think that is so important?
Well, we think it allows us to have conversations. It's not, you know, I think it's interesting. One of the things that Douglass says in a speech in the middle of the 19th century is he talks about the technology that has shrunken the globe, that makes it possible for us to communicate across the oceans. And, you know, one of the things that we think is important is that in an age, in a kind of virtual age, where we do so much much virtually and on the computer, that it's very important for us to be able to sit down together and have direct conversations, in part because it makes the thing sink in a little bit more, but it also gives us the strength and the encouragement to act on what we do, and to do so communally, not alone, not isolated. These aren't individual thoughts or activities, but encourage us to work together.
Poon, when you think about this as an overall project, and as you say, it's been going on for quite a while, what are the results that you've seen?
It's the kind of thing of which the results are hard to measure. One thing is that when we organize the events, we don't actually organize most of them ourselves. We do it together with whole coalitions of groups of organizations. So that I remember one time, 1 year I counted, and 70 organizations had participated. That means that in each town, 10 to 12 people from different organizations sit down together to organize this event, which is really very simple event. It's almost like a flash mob. All it takes is two people and a stack of speeches and a sign and perhaps the front of City Hall, and you can start doing it. And so it's very simple, but it does allow those people to get to know each other, to do something together that isn't huge, that doesn't take an enormous amount of responsibility. So with respect to direct results, one of the things we see is that people find the way to each other from disparate organizations, which we at Mass Humanities find very important, and we work on making that happen. And another I have seen is that when we have one of these readings, people stand around. Anybody can participate, which people find very unusual, that they can just step up to the mic and read whatever paragraph comes next. And they love participating, but people also stand around. Last year in Boston, we had more than 400 people, and the governor participated. And those 400 people all stood around and read the speech as people were reading it to them. And so it's a very unusual thing to see 400 people read a 19th century piece of eloquence that is very powerful, that talks about the ideals of our nation, and it just brings it home. It has that direct connection.
David, do you see a difference, and I guess, in reading the speech this year as compared to last year? I mean, because you contextualize it with what we're dealing with. So you read it differently, don't you?
Well, we do, and we, you know, part of it's interesting. You know, we're in the middle of a kind of commemoration fervor here, where we have a lot of events, a lot of anniversaries that we observe and celebrate, and I think that's important. But I think what's equally important is to mark these occasions with calls to action. And so, yes, each year, so this year, for instance, there are several things that we look at and kind of try to reflect on and build on. It's, the 60th anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Education. Tomorrow is the 60th anniversary. It's the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. And as we think about those things, we need to think about where we can continue the effort. We can think about, as we celebrate those things, things that have happened with Supreme Court decisions, the Voting Rights Act being gutted, kind of affirmative action being challenged seriously. And so each year, we read it anew. We read it with an eye toward what is going on around us today, rather than just a celebration of eloquence, which it is. We always try to anchor it in what's going on around us. And of course, you know, one of the interesting things is that the hope is that it prompts people to continue conversations. So we always say it, the events that we do on the Boston Common, which are really, which Poon referred to, they always come before the 4th of July. And the idea is to encourage people on the 4th and after the 4th to read the speech, but not only to read the speech, but to talk about and reflect on it. And over the next year we will be observing the 150th anniversary of the 13th Amendment. And as we do that, it's important for us to think about how questions of mass incarceration, for instance, might undercut the notion, the kind of gains of the 13th Amendment, or you know, other kinds of other aspects of our society today.
Plun, I guess when you hear what David just said, I mean, this is exactly what you want to do in the humanities, right? And have these ideas, these bigger ideas, have them reflect what's going on, have people have a discussion and an ongoing dialogue.
Well, I mean, we are a nation founded on an idea. I mean, we are also a nation that identifies itself as an economic system. But almost before that economic system came the idea, or hand in hand in any case. And so it's important that we consider the ideas and how we relate to them in our own daily lives. How much do we need to do? I was watching a film about the Freedom Summer and people getting on the bus to protest segregation in the South. And the question, you know, one question that comes to mind is, would I be getting on that bus? Should
right.
I be getting on that bus? You know, what is my relationship to it? And what is my relationship to you? And how far should I work on it? One of the things that I love about Douglass is that he's always a step ahead of us, even though he's a 19th century hero. He's always a step ahead. When I started looking into the anniversaries that are happening this year, I noticed that the 13th Amendment, the amendment that abolished slavery, at least most of slavery, the fight for the 13th Amendment happened in 1864. It passed the House in April. I mean, it passed the Senate in April, and then it didn't pass the House until January of 1865. Nothing much has changed, I guess. But one of the things I noticed when I was reading Douglass's speeches is that he said, okay, you know, we're getting rid of slavery, let's move forward and let's move towards citizenship and equality. So he was already ahead of us. Here we were commemorating and we're looking to commemorate things that happened 150 years ago, but 150 years ago he was already past that point. And he was moving forward and saying, where can we go, you know, what do we need to think about when we look at the Declaration of Independence? And that's just so impressive.
Absolutely. It's really incredible stuff. So ultimately, as we look at this, what can we do? How can we plan for this?
Well, I mean, first of all, we have a series of events which you can find on our website. There's one going to be in Amherst on June 28th, a reading, and I think that is actually in part a performed reading. There's going to be one in Worcester, one in Boston, and one in Lynn, and then also one in Springfield at Court Square Park on July 3rd. So that one thing is to attend one of those readings and to feel for yourself how powerful it is to actually think of ideals and think of them in actual words that don't hedge. and the other thing, this is available to anyone. Like I said, all it takes is two people and a speech. And the speech is available on our website in various lengths. We have discussion guides. We have guides to how to organize an event. Anybody can take it. We have a little bit of money available. If people want to hire a scholar and have a public reading, then of course they can. You know, people can always get in touch with me, but everything is really on our website, and it's linked from the front of our website at www.masshumanities.org.
And that really is what makes it a kind of perfect public humanities event, because, as Plun said, the thing, anybody can go to the site, get the information, get the speech, and organize something, and in your entire seven-state region, anyone can do this and reap the benefits.
Well, it is a fascinating event and a fascinating discussion. To learn more about the Mass Humanities Reading Frederick Douglass Project, you can go to their website, masshumanities.org/Douglass. masshumanities.org/Douglass. Plun and David, a great pleasure speaking with you this morning and having you share your expertise with us. It's a delight to have you on the program as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Talk to you soon.
Enjoy the weekend. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.